Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 161 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Anthony Peake's book, Near-Death Experiences, The Science, Psychology and Anthropology Behind the Phenomenon. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to read from a section titled Classic Modern Case, 2006, Anita Morjani. And this is what Anthony has written. In February 2006, Anita Morjani, a Hong Kong-based Sindhi businesswoman, was dying of lymphoma, a particularly aggressive form of cancer. The illness had taken total control of her body, and she was moving into the terminal phase. One morning, she took a turn for the worse. She could not open her eyes, and her face was grossly swollen. Her husband Danny phoned the family doctor, and Anita, in a seemingly unconscious state, was rushed to hospital. However, from the viewpoint of Anita herself, everything was fine. She was observing everything from a curiously enjoyable semi-dream state. At the same time, she felt amazingly awake. She was hyper-aware of everything that was going on around her. In her book, Dying to Be Me, she explained that she was perceiving, but in a way that didn't involve her usual five senses. She was simply aware. This suggests that she was attuning to another form of sensory processing. She was not hearing or seeing things because neither her eyes nor her ears were involved. She was gleaning information from a field of information that surrounded her and was part of her. She described it like this. It was as though I'd been a prisoner in my own body for the past 4 years as the cancer ravaged my physical form, and at last I was being released. I was tasting freedom for the first time. I began to feel weightless and to become aware that I was able to be anywhere at any time. And this didn't seem unusual. It felt normal, as though this were the real way to perceive things. I didn't even think it odd that I was aware of my husband and the doctor speaking to each other outside the ICU, some 40 feet down a hallway. She recognised the doctor explaining that there was nothing they could do. Her body was full of tumours. She noted her husband's reaction to this terrible news, and she was desperate to take away his grief by telling him that she was okay. However, she felt herself being pulled away, and it was then that she began to undergo what is generally known as the oceanic experience. She said, "As my emotions were being drawn away from my surroundings, I started to notice how I was continuing to expand to fill every space until there was no separation between me and everything else. I was encompassed, no, became everything and everyone." Anita then became aware of her brother, thousands of miles away, on an aeroplane on his way to see her. She noted his worried look and again tried to communicate that she was okay, as her expansion into the other realm, as she described it, took place. She made a fascinating observation. She felt that she had not so much physically gone somewhere else, but that she had awakened, as if roused from a bad dream. Then something strange happened. She became aware of the presence of her father, who had died 10 years earlier. He communicated with her by emotion rather than words. They were then joined by her friend Sunny, who had died of cancer 3 years ago. She realised that her new sensory awareness was total. She had 360-degree vision and a total awareness of her surroundings. She also felt that time had changed. She said, "I was aware of everything that pertained to me, past, present and future, simultaneously. I became conscious of what seemed to be simultaneous lives playing out. I seemed to have a younger brother in one incarnation, and I was protective of him. But I knew that this sibling's essence was the same as Anoop's, only in that existence he was younger instead of older than I was. This life I was now perceiving with Anoop seem to take place in an underdeveloped rural setting, in a time and location I could not identify. We were living in a sparsely furnished mud hut, and I looked after Anoop while our parents went out to work in the fields. This suggests a perception of alternative timelines, in which she has lived or will live a very different one to that which she had just experienced. Here we have evidence of a many-worlds-like scenario, reminiscent of the cheating the ferryman concept. This also suggests that she perceived a life in another time, but still as herself. However, she stressed that it did not feel like a past life, but something that was happening now. She makes a fascinating point. She said, "Our five senses limit us to focusing only on one point in time at any given moment, and we string these together to create an illusion of linear reality. Our physicality also limits our perception of the space around us, confining us only to what our eyes and ears can see and hear, or to what we can touch, smell, or taste. However, without the limitations of my body, I took in all points of time and space as they pertain to me, all at once." She initially wondered what was giving her this information. She then realized that God is not a being, but a state of being. And she was now that state of being. That is, she was God. She was then told by her father that it was not her time and that she must go back. At this stage, she decided that she wanted to stay in this new state of being. But like countless other NDEers before her, she encountered an invisible barrier she could not cross. She knew that if she crossed it, she would be dead within consensual reality. She perceived what effect this decision to cross the boundary would have on her loved ones. She saw her distraught husband holding her frail hand and his head buried in her lifeless chest. Anita then understood that, if she went back with this new awareness of the power of her true self, she would be able to cure her cancer and continue living. Indeed, she also sensed that she had a greater purpose to fulfill on Earth, to heal others. Around 4 p.m. on the afternoon of 3rd February 2006, Anita came back. Standing next to her bed were her husband and her brother, Anoop. She also recognized the doctor and called him by name, Dr. Chan. She explained that during the night, she had seen him draw fluid from her lungs. Dr. Chan was surprised by this revelation, stating that this was impossible as Anita had been, at that time, in a deep coma. 3 days later, it was found that Anita's tumours had shrunk considerably, as had the swelling of all her glands. 6 days later, the doctors did a bone marrow extraction and were stunned to find that there was no evidence of cancer in the biopsy. This was thought to be impossible. The sample was sent to another laboratory and 4 days later came back as testing negative for cancer cells. A few days later, a lymph node biopsy was taken, which entailed minor surgery. As the scans took place, Anita later recorded what she heard the specialist say. "I don't understand. I have scans that show this patient's lymphatic system was ridden with cancer just 2 weeks ago, but now I can't find a lymph node on her body large enough to even suggest cancer." On 9th March 2006, Anita was released from hospital. She had been given a full-body positron emission tomography scan, and this had confirmed that her body was indeed cancer-free. At this time, she had never heard of the near-death experience. Her brother spotted the website of the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation, the organisation established by the oncologist Dr. Jeffrey Long. On the site was a request for individuals who had experienced an NDE to send in their stories, which Anita duly did. The following day, she received an email from Dr. Long. As a cancer specialist, Long was fascinated by Anita's case, which he considered one of the most exceptional he had ever read. In the summer of 2006, another oncologist, Dr. Peter Koh, contacted Anita. Koh was particularly interested in spontaneous remissions. He requested from her copies of her medical reports. On reading them, he responded, "Lady, whichever way I look at it, you should be dead." Since then, Anita has given up her career and now travels the world telling others about the redemptive effects of near-death experiences. So today I was reading from Anthony Peake's book, Near-Death Experiences, the science, psychology, and anthropology behind the phenomenon. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Our Paranormal Afterlife Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And just so you know, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression with me. And I'm offering a free consultation call, which can be booked on my website. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.